As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Deport all undocumented immigrants. Voters favoring the government trying to deport all 11 million of them. Back in 2016, just 38% of voters wanted the government to try to deport all 11 million undocumented immigrants. Compared to where we are in 2025, 56%, the majority, the American people have come a long way on this issue, much closer to Donald Trump. And I think that's a big part of the reason why Americans are increasingly saying the country is on the right track when it comes to immigration policy, and why Donald Trump's net approval rating on that issue is in the positive.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Well, you know Tyrus from being a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor, and he's traveling the country and seeing people live. And you can see him next in Middleton, Ohio. Looks like May 17th is that day. Tyrus, welcome back to the show. Happy Easter week. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
So I just played a clip there from CNN, Harry Enten. He's always giving, it's funny to me because he's always giving people on CNN bad news, which kind of feels like good news to me. But it seems as though the American public has shifted on the idea of deporting all illegal immigrants. I wanted to know from you, with this Garcia, this El Salvadoran MS-13 gang member, also known as a Maryland dad, why are the Democrats picking this guy to push back against President Trump's immigration and deportation plans?
I think Greg Gutfeld said it best on The Five and reiterated again on Gutfeld last night. Like, this is the dumbest issue. No one should really care about this individual. He just doesn't. It's just such a slap in the face to the American people in general. I think I saw a stat somewhere that I think it was like CBS and maybe it was MSNBC or a couple major news networks. They covered his story like over 68 times and actual victims zero.
Right.
And this guy's not a martyr. This is like a George Floyd other situation where you're trying to make something to fit a narrative that's not there. Or the deeper thing is they're trying to use this to set up what's look like it's going to come down the line, where we're going to see a lot of the embezzlement that's been going on the last 4 years and payouts and misuse of American funding. So I think if they try to set the narrative that the administration is disappearing people and they're arresting people, that when it happens to them, they're going to try to say this is the beginning of it. I try to logically put my head around it, and it just comes off as dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely dumb.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the head scratcher, because it seems so obvious that there are things that the Democrat Party could hone in on that would potentially resonate with voters who they clearly are not in touch with right now. What are the issues that you think the Democrats could be chasing after, or the bipartisan issues that the Trump administration is paying attention to that Democrats could support without having to compromise their principles?
You know,
it's been 4 years of head scratching. It's always, you know, we always hear it the 80-20. No, this is a 99-1 issue. And they still seem to, and because the progressives don't represent anyone but an individual with an agenda. So I think that's the connection here, is because this has been, again, another one of these things where they try to pick, instead of, they can't win the argument, so they try to say, well, what about this one person? And again, this guy, the senator that went there, I mean, it just goes back to what I've said. The problem with dumb people is not just that they're dumb, because we know they're dumb, is that they're dumb so they don't know that they're dumb. So they think they're brilliant and they're dumb. And going to El Salvador or Venezuela or whatever it was to go, I guess he was going to go, what, stand outside the prison and demand they release him? I mean, what was he going to do?
Yeah. They were like, no.
He's going to get arrested, and he's going to end up getting arrested get arrested over there, dummy. And then who's he going to call to try to get himself home? The White House. Like, it's just, it's moronic. There's no polite way to address this. It's not a debatable issue. This is, are you kidding me?
Tyrus is speaking with us right now. You can check out his latest book. It's out, Nuff Said, follow-up to Just Tyrus. Both very good reads. I encourage you to look into those books and get them wherever books are sold, or audiobooks. That's how I take them in. Tyrus, I want to ask you about the Katy Perry, Gayle King, Bezos. When Katy Perry, I was indifferent on this issue until they came back and they're like, I hope for world peace now because we did this.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
The virtue signaling of the overprivileged. They were calling it, you went on a ride.
Okay? He said
you went
ride.
On a ride. You went up the whole, I coined the phrase. You went up for 11 minutes. You were in our space for 42 seconds. You came down and had the temerity, the unmitigated gall to act like you're changed the world. You got on the ground and kissed the ground as if you had been up in space waiting
for 9 months
to come home. You know, like you discovered four forms of life and a edible a space vegetable that grows on the stars. And then they kept calling themselves astronauts.
Mm.
You're a talk show host, not an astronaut. You talk on a show. No one, you know, like, it's just laughable. Katy Perry, I left all the love. And that you went up so fast and came down. The only thing that was proven to me is that you are more buoyant in the air when you have a lot of plastic surgery done. That's the only thing that we saw. If you're taking selfies on a spaceship and got flowers and rolling around, yeah, you're bringing in organic objects on a space mission that could have been contaminated there, Katy. But not too well thought of, because it was a ride. You went on a ride. Stop acting like you did something. You didn't invent the wheel. You went on a ride, and then your virtue signaling, stupid speeches. They were dumb. They were the worst speeches I ever heard, and I've heard some doozies. I listened to Joe Biden for 4 years, and he made more sense than all the diversity, and it was so quiet. What is wrong with you people? This is worse than someone saying, hey, listen to my demo tape. You know what I'm saying? Like or going to a karaoke concert where some guy like is singing Def Leppard, but he acts like he wrote the song. Mm. Like, what is wrong with you people?
You know, that's like the point. You want to, if you have the opportunity to do something like that, that's cool. Take the opportunity. Experience the experience. But is it the celebrity that these people enjoy that makes them think that the world is just waiting with bated breath for their message?
They're so enamored with themselves. They're so delusional. It's laughable. I mean, it's like if I caught a foul ball at a baseball game and then thanked the Red Sox for helping me win the World Series. And humanity has changed. Once I caught that ball, I realized that the world is round.
Yeah.
And that we're all on this little sphere together. And just like it fit in my hands, if we all held hands. See what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
I'm so full of it right now, it's not even funny. Like,
it's
you would
funny.
Not let that person finish that sentence.
Yeah.
You would have them removed from the game for being weird.
Did you see the video of them like opening from the inside the door and then they close it and then Jeff Bezos goes and gets like a wrench and then opens the door again? There's some
What is your problem, Bezos? Don't get the wrench, okay? Leave them in there for a while. And if they stayed in there longer than 5 minutes, I guarantee you they'd have been furious.
Get me.
The speeches would have been angry, but they were oppressed in there. They had to wait 5 minutes to get the door open, and they finally got out. Because they would be complaining. Imagine them on their plane if it doesn't open up when it lands. I'm sure they're furious. So we would have had a lot of Karen moments.
Would you go to space for 10 minutes?
I would go on a space ride for 10 minutes, but I wouldn't step out like I
would you kiss the ground?
With God.
Would you, would you take that trip if you could take that trip?
If I could fit in there? Yeah. I don't know if I could fit. But I'd be like, wow, that was fun. I pretty much have done it. Anyone who's been to a carnival and went on the hammerhead has done the same thing they did.
Oh, man. Tyrus, I knew that was going to be fun to talk to you about. You've got a lot of shows. You're always laying them in. I say Middletown, Ohio. What do you all have coming up? You're so busy all the time. What do you got coming up for
us? Yeah, I got a big summer tour coming up. Of course, you can always catch me on Gutfeld. I just started working on book number 3, and I'll be touring all over the country. You can check it out on my Linktree, on my social media, Linktree at Tyrus Mash for tickets, and then at all ticket venues. Tickets are still available. Not many left, but there's a few left, and we keep adding new cities. That's the nice thing about doing your own tours is that we can keep adding people. Send me messages, and they'll be like, hey, can you come to this city? Can you come to this city? If you got a theater, we can probably make it happen.
Yeah.
So you can just send those requests to booktyrus@gmail.com. Can't get much easier than that.
That's wonderful. And I mean, I've been to a couple of your shows before. And
it all started with you guys. My first show was with you guys.
It's exciting. And I think that the cool thing that you do is you go to a lot of areas that are populated areas, but it's not like the super... like the big city where people have to go downtown or whatever. You're going to like where Americana is, and it's awesome. And
yeah.
You do multiple shows.
The reason why
shows
I started doing that was when they defunded the police, I didn't want my fans coming to shows in the big cities where they might be getting carjacked or not, you know. So yeah. I started looking for cities that supported police, and that's what I started doing.
Well, it's wonderful, and it's well worth the drive for people to go grab one of those tickets that are remaining, and we encourage people to do that. Follow you on social media as well. Tyrus, we love you. Thanks for being with us again today. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Follow him at Planet Tyrus on X, and all his links are right there in his profile as well. His books, he said he's working on book 3. That's exciting. Read Just Tyrus. If you enjoy Tyrus, if you have enjoyed listening to him on this show, he's been coming on the show on Thursdays, I think, since 2018. And, of course, has had a great ascent since then. And he has not ever taken us off of his obligations. He's always, you know, sometimes he can't be with us. He's got a lot going on. But you all have a special place in Tyrus's heart, and we're grateful for the opportunity to connect you guys. All right, when we come back, I want to talk to Will Chamberlain. He is a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. I'm going to play before we go to a break here. We know about this Letitia James prosecution from the Department of Justice. I played earlier in the show this video of Letitia James. She's like, she's ready to go. She's ready to fight. She is... clearly not backing down, but I really feel as though she has a little bit of anxiety about her presentation. I mean, Brad, when you're watching that video, does she seem confident to you?
Yeah, I don't know that she's trying to convince her listeners as much as she's trying to convince herself. She's bouncing around. If you really, really listen to it, you can hear the shakiness in her voice. It's not a positive shakiness. It's not like, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to fight. There's a little bit of fear there. There's a twinge of fear behind it.
Well,
behind it.
Let's listen to, this isn't about, there's another thing I'm going to talk to him about. It's these Title IX pushback from the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, who Donald Trump continues to compliment her as well. I'm going to play this for you, and we're going to talk to Will Chamberlain about both of these things when we come back. Here's the Attorney General of the United States talking.
The state of Maine is discriminating against women by failing to protect women in women's sports. Pretty basic stuff. This is a violation of Title IX. The Department of Justice will not sit by when women are discriminated against in sports. This is about sports. This is also about these young women's personal safety. I've met many of these women throughout the past weeks and months, and what they have been through is horrific.
So Pam Bondi speaking
the state of Maine is
about this Title IX fight. Remember when the governor of Maine was at the White House and President Trump kind of said, like, hey, he's like, hey, Maine, you gotta get with the program here. We're not going to do this men and women sports things anymore. And she said, I'll see you in court. And then Trump was like, OK, it's fine with me. Can we get Pam Bondi on the phone, please? And then here we are. So the lawsuit has been levied there. We need experts to talk about these legal things. And Will Chamberlain is the best. So we're going to talk to him when we come back. Senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. And I'm going to start it off talking about Letitia James. Is she in real legal trouble? Is this lawfare? Are the Democrats going to be shaking their fists at the sky and saying this is just revenge, this is vengeful lawfare, dangerous threat to democracy, to watch the president use the justice system to try to take down his opponents? Kind of exactly like Letitia James did when he was running for president. Will Chamberlain will sort it out for us when we come back. And vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Join us on YouTube because I think Will Chamberlain's going to be with us in video form on the YouTube channel. Do you celebrate Easter? Yes, as a religious holiday. Yes, as a secular holiday. Or no, you don't celebrate it. Will Chamberlain, next.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. That overturned legal segregation in this country. I've been taught in those classrooms where Thurgood Marshall once taught. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you.
I think she already approved that to us, that she's going to go after Donald Trump. That's the attorney general of the state of New York, the one that went after Donald Trump as a candidate, former president, of course, for fraud. It kind of makes me wonder how she knew to navigate such a weird situation with Donald Trump on the fraud that she alleged that he committed and, of course, got a conviction. She might have known a little extra about that fraud. Let's talk to our friend Will Chamberlain about it, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, which you can learn more about, article3project.org, and on X at Will Chamberlain. Will, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Good to be with you, Annie.
The Letitia James suit from the Trump DOJ suggesting that she participated in mortgage fraud. Now, detractors are going to say, well, this is just lawfare from a president who's trying to engage in revenge. What are your thoughts on this? Is this a fair lawsuit coming from Pam Bondi and the DOJ?
I mean, it sounds like it. I'm not super deep on this particular lawsuit. I've been focused on the Abrego-Garcia stuff. But I'll say what I do know about it is, I mean, apparently she falsely put that this was her primary residence in, I mean, when it was a completely out-of-state house, which is, I mean, it's really straightforward. If that's true, that's probably mortgage fraud because these loans are only supposed to go to people for their primary residences. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, you got to think about, this is the woman who went after, President Trump and tried, you know, on a real estate issue. Remember, she's the person who said that Trump committed real estate fraud because he didn't value Mar-a-Lago at $20 million. When Mar-a-Lago is probably a $1 billion property, if you know anything about how ridiculously expensive Palm Beach real estate is. So, I'm not sympathetic to her. I think that there's probably, it looks like there's a real case here, and I expect her to have real trouble defending it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. I'm glad you brought up the Abreu-Garcia conversation because we want to talk about that as well. I heard a clip earlier today from Hakeem Jeffries. I think he was at some sort of political town hall, and he stated that our plan from the jump is to sue. He wanted to sue the Trump administration as much as they possibly could. Now, politically, I'm watching the Democrats work overtime and decide to hold hands and kumbaya around this MS-13 member who they want to deem as a Maryland dad. It seems as though the facts bear out that is not a Maryland dad. And the Trump administration promised that they were going to deport the bad people that were illegal immigrants out of our country. And the Democrats are rallying around this guy as the face to push back against this policy. Are the Democrats misled?
Yeah, I think pretty badly, actually. They're misled, first off, because this story never would end with this guy in the United States again. The one thing everybody agrees upon is he's a removable illegal alien with no legal status in the United States. He applied for asylum and was rejected. He was rejected because his application was time barred. He applied in 2019 after he was detained by ICE, and he, by his own admission, crossed the border in 2012. You have a 1 year from the time you cross illegally to make an to apply for asylum. Mm-hmm. So all he had was this withholding of removal to El Salvador. That's it. And so that means he would have been removed somewhere else. But moreover, if, you know, all the Department of Justice needed to do was just go to court, go to the immigration judge, say, guess what? Circumstances in El Salvador have changed. Gangs no longer run the country. Nayib Bukele has turned it into one of the safest places in the Western Hemisphere. There's no basis for him to feel a fear of persecution from gangs in El Salvador. He needs to go home.
So I see people saying about this guy, bring him home. Are you telling me that El Salvador, that Donald Trump did that, put him home?
That El Salvador sent him home. El Salvador is his home. He is an El Salvadoran national. He's not a legal permanent resident of the United States. He's not a U.S. citizen. The United States is not his home. He is an illegal immigrant. And I think that the fact that you have all the media and so many leftist activists, it gives away the game. What they're trying to do is get rid of the notion of legal immigration, get rid of the notion of citizenship, get rid of the notion of borders. Otherwise, you wouldn't be calling a guy who has no legal status in the United States a Maryland man.
So Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now with the Article 3 Project. Do, in your mind, if we get into the brain of the Democrat Party or these Democrat activists trying to remake who Garcia is, do they not understand the facts of the situation? Are they so used to being able to create and manifest crises that they think that they can manipulate the American voting public into just believing their version of it for a political gain? Or are they just dumb and they don't get it?
I think it's a little bit of two dynamics. One is they're sympathetic to the project of facilitating illegal migration. So when they hear about a wronged illegal alien, they're like, we're all in. They're just predisposed to do that. But there is a part of this also that involves his lawyer misleading both the court and the public with the way that he framed his complaint, with the way he attempted to get this injunction. A really good example of this is they very strongly underplayed the evidence that Abrego Garcia is an MS-13. They suggested it was only the apparel he was wearing when he was arrested and an uncorroborated CI report. And then yesterday, when Pam Bondi releases additional documents, we find out that the key really relevant piece of evidence that the guy is in MS-13 is that he was arrested with two other MS-13 members, two other heavily tattooed MS-13 members. This fact omitted from the complaint, omitted from all the public reporting, omitted from every one of these immigration advocates being like, there's no evidence that he's an MS-13. And then you read the document and you're like, wait a second, there absolutely is evidence that he was an MS-13, which we should have predicted, because of course, when he applied for bond back in 2019, when he was detained, the immigration judge said, he's a verified member of MS-13, you're not getting bond. The Board of Immigration Appeals heard that and agreed and affirmed the immigration judge. So the people who were getting way out ahead of their skis saying, there's no evidence. Like, we hadn't seen the evidence yet, but given what we had read about in these earlier court documents, it was pretty obvious the evidence was there.
So I want to play for you a little clip here from not the most stable Democrat voice out there, but nonetheless, he has a voice. Keith Olbermann, who every time I see a video from him on X, I'm like, that dude's not okay. He's not doing all right. But let's just listen into where he thinks that America needs to go.
The all-new Monday Countdown podcast. Kristi Noem, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, and Tom Homan, the head of ICE, must be arrested immediately for contempt of court. They're defying court orders to return Mr. Abrego Garcia from captivity and torture in El Salvador. And they and Trump are on the verge of being in contempt of court of the Supreme Court. As Trump begins to indicate, he will not abide by its rulings about returning Abrego to this country. It is time to teach the Trump administration a lesson. The Trump administration is trying to teach the rest of us a lesson, which is that even if it makes a mistake, it will not correct it. and that we should all be afraid of being arrested even if we were born here. That's why dozens, perhaps hundreds of people born in this country, full residents, full citizens of this nation, received notices over the weekend that they had 7 days to leave America. It was just another administrative error.
I could stop him there. He said that he, this is, I, the reason I play this is because this is what people on the left are hearing. And then when our friends and family get together for an Easter dinner on Sunday or whatever, and we're on opposite sides of the aisle, you got people who are listening to you, Will Chamberlain, on the Annie Fry Show, and you got people who are listening to Keith Olbermann saying, I think that Pam Bondi and Trump are going to get arrested because they're defying the Supreme Court. What's your response to Keith Olbermann?
Well, let's start with the easiest question. Who exactly do they plan on sending to arrest the Attorney General of the United States? She's in charge of all federal law enforcement. Mm. What, the including the U.S. Marshals, by the way. What, are they going to send, local Supreme Court staff over to the DOJ, waltz right into Pam Bondi's office, say you're under arrest, bring her to the non-existent jail at the Supreme Court? Because, of course, the Supreme Court doesn't deal with detainees. What are they talking about? That's point one. Point two is obviously Keith Olbermann did not understand the Supreme Court's ruling. The Supreme Court acknowledged the executive branch's concern with the idea that they would have to effectuate Abrego Garcia's return to the country as being a violation of the president's Article II powers. This is a Salvadoran national in the custody of the Salvadoran government. Any forcible or coercive act by our president would be a very aggressive act of foreign policy, and that's something that an Article III judge has no jurisdiction, no authority to impose, to require. So they're just wrong. I mean, Keith hasn't read the briefing, doesn't understand that what the Supreme Court said is it's acceptable to order the government to facilitate his return, but facilitate in this context means to eliminate obstacles on the side of the United States, meaning send a plane, give him an entry visa, things that are totally within the government's control that don't require any interaction with a foreign sovereign. Hmm. Once you get into how should the president interact with a foreign sovereign, you are squarely in Article II, core Article II authority. The president is the sole organ of the nation in foreign affairs. Courts have no role. Hmm. So Olbermann is wrong.
You know, I think I was
wrong on the law, and he's wrong on the ability of any of these people to be held, to be thrown in jail.
When I was listening to the El Salvadoran president sitting next to Donald Trump in the Oval Office, I think Pam Bondi was talking about this, and the press asked the El Salvadoran president, like, would you send him home? And he's like, why would I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? And I was like, well, at least he gets it. It seems like he understands what's best for the United States. I just don't understand why the folks like Keith Olbermann are working so hard to bring that guy back into the United States. Like, why is it, of all of the efforts that this Trump administration is making to purge the millions of people that the Biden administration have imported into this country intentionally, they want that guy back? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the dog that has a bone, right? Like, they got this small bone, which is they're right on this one point, which is given the fact that this guy had a withholding of removal to El Salvador, he could not legally be deported to El Salvador, right? That's true. Trump administration has admitted it in its court filings. Everybody agrees this was an error, just an administrative error. But they don't want to give that up as like, they're not willing to realize that everything else about the Abrego Garcia case is bad facts for them. This guy was a bad person. He was a wife beater, likely an MS-13 gangbanger, an illegal alien in the country for 7 years without ever once interacting with our authorities. And the real, once you actually dig into the story of this man, it's an indictment of our asylum system. It's an indictment of our, however our immigration courts are functioning, that this guy wasn't deported in 2019 when he was caught.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume that if you were somebody who was supporting President Biden's then/Kamala Harris on the immigration issue, and you're just, the kindest of them all, the bleeding heart liberals who doesn't want to see anybody have a bad day ever, that when the immigration deportation stuff starts happening, the picture that you had in your mind of how bad it was going to be wasn't going to look like Abrego Garcia. it was going to be like a single mom or an old lady who's been here for a long time. You thought that that was going to be the thing that the left championed, and it just appears that they don't have that yet.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't have that because, you know, credit to the Trump administration, they're doing a pretty good job of identifying criminals and of not making mistakes. Mm. Like, they did make a small one here, and the left has seized on it like crazy and apparently is going to make this MS-13 gaming or their standard bearer. Maybe it's good to make a few small mistakes like this if this is what the left is going to respond with, if they're going to respond completely out of proportion and embarrass themselves when the facts are eventually revealed.
Yeah, well, you said to us, I think it was the last time we talked about like the transformative way that the Trump administration has come into here. They're doing big, big things. And like every political category, they're doing big things and challenging all the status quo across the board. Mistakes are going to be made. And I think it was you that explained to us that the system is set up to make it too scary to do big things. Like pull yourself back, you restrain yourself, because the system will come out to get you, and the Trump administration just seems unafraid.
Yeah, no, that's the best thing about it. This is a different Trump administration. They were much more cautious in the first term. Too cautious. They're being sufficiently aggressive this time, and it's really working and paying dividends.
It's refreshing to see. Will, we thank you for your time. Hope you have a great holiday weekend, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. Will Chamberlain, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, a wonderful organization you should check out online if you want to learn more about their perspectives, their legal expertise on a lot of these issues. It's kind of like what I was talking about with Charles Gasparino from Fox Business earlier in the show, which is the less you know about the details, the weeds, so to speak, of these issues when it comes to legal matters, foreign policy, you know, deep economics, when you're trying to comb through the mess that is tariffs, it's easy for us to sit here and go, well, I'm no expert on this. And then you listen to the politicos who come in and start to fill the space, the unknown, the gray area of these matters, because you may not be an expert and I might not be an expert, but I can tell you, like, well, I'm on Team Trump. So you work yourself backwards into the situation. That's not good. The left is certainly doing that. The right will absolutely do that as well. I would assume that most people in politics would say that's the area where you can thrive and try to bring people in on an emotional appeal. I just don't think that Abrego Garcia is the guy who you're going to win people over with on your side of this issue politically. And they are using the gray area to try to win a political game when America has voted very much so against the policies that the left wants to insert into the game. Good to talk to Will. Let's take a quick break. Ethan will come back in and join us here shortly. We want you to vote with us on the YouTube live chat poll and tell us why you voted the way you did. Do you celebrate Easter? Yes, as a religious holiday. Yes, as a secular holiday. Or no, you don't celebrate it. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You know, the thing about giving Ryan crap is that he's almost unshakable. You know, like if I'm trying to get him off of his game, it's not an easy thing to do. He can roll with punches pretty much no matter what.
It's really impressive.
It is. To watch it up close and personal, because you guys know, the things that I will ask him or say to him, there's no like pregame conversation like, and then I'm going to say, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like prepared a remark. Mm-mm.
Nothing. It's like the you start off with the tiny little snowball, right?
Yeah.
And you just drop it and you say, oh, where's that going to go?
And takes it to great lengths.
And it just, by the end of it, it is a massive snowball. Sometimes it's an avalanche.
Yeah.
It just, everything, all the snow just completely falls down the hill.
And I live for the times where I do that and I ask him a question and he starts to go in his weirdo answer to a question he had no idea was coming, and then he just cracks himself up like he can't commit to it. Doesn't happen very often, but it's always my goal. Speaking of goals.
Nice.
You see what I did there?
I did.
And if you were Ryan, you'd explain what I just did there to the people out there. You'd explain the radio thing.
Oh,
a
yeah.
Segue.
Yeah, this is where, you know, we talk about the St. Louis Blues because they're in the playoffs, right? Is that
yes.
what we're going for? Is that the segue we're talking about?
I went to the Cardinals game on Tuesday. We lost 2-0, but it was a good baseball game. Of course, they won the other games in the Houston Astros series, just not the one I went to.
Hate to see it.
Whoops. But while we were at the Cardinals game, I think we scored at least 4 goals while we were in the stadium. What was it? The score ended up being 4-1 or 5-1 or something.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
6-1.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, up until about 9 o'clock when the game got over, every time the Blues would score a goal, they showed it in the stadium. The stadium went crazy. And that was all we cheered for because we didn't score any runs that night. But people are pumped for the Blues. The Blues are doing kind of a Stanley Cup run thing from the last time we went through this. And I don't know what your thoughts are on if this team can take it all the way, but we got playoffs now.
The Blues are doing something that a team in St. Louis hasn't done for at least a couple years now, and that's giving serious hope, right? Like, I mean, like, you think of St. Louis sports, and traditionally, this town takes great pride
we
in the quality
playoffs.
Of the quality of sports that goes on here. And, you know, the Cardinals haven't been what they've traditionally been here the last couple of years. The Blues have struggled here the last couple of years. So for for the Blues to get back into the playoffs is super encouraging. Here's something crazy I saw the other day. I think it's 58 seasons now that they've been in the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 46 or 47 of them they have made the playoffs.
Now,
is that crazy or
I'm
going
to ask you some questions that are going to explain that I am a go-home team Blues fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand hockey.
Sure.
I can't make time in my life for it. But I do love the Blues, and I hope that they do well. It feels like all but two teams make the playoffs. What percentage of the teams in the league make the playoffs?
50%.
Half.
So there's 32 teams in the NHL, and 16 of them make it.
16 make it. That's a lot. What is it in baseball now? 30 teams, and you've got six conference.
12 or make it.
Six division,
no.
I should say.
No.
And two wild cards.
10 make it. Yes. So there's
six and two?
There is six divisions in total. Wait, no, that is 12. I was right, 12. Three divisions in each. No, I'm tripping now.
Don't look
you got
at
me.
I'm not good at math.
There's six division champions
there's
and then two wild
champions.
Cards in each league.
Yes.
So that's 10.
Yeah, that's 10. I tripped out for a second.
Is that right? Is that what it is?
I mean,
that's a third versus a half in hockey. So then what? And then in baseball now we have like the wild card series, and then you have the division series, and then the league series, and then World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The wild card is a 3-game series. The division series is a 5-game series, mm-hmm. and then the league and the world are 7-game series. What is it for hockey?
Everything is 7 games for hockey.
And how many series are there?
There's 4. So you have to the Stanley Cup. Championship. The Stanley Cup final is the final of the 4 series.
Right.
So in order to win the Stanley Cup championship, you have to win 16 playoff games. They call it the hardest trophy to win in all of sports.
How did the Blues fare? Are they healthy right now?
They are mostly healthy. There's been a couple of pieces that they had been missing here down the stretch when they got really hot. One of them was Colton Parayko, who is their best defenseman by far. And fortunately for Blues fans, he had been also playing his best hockey of his career up until the point that he got injured several weeks ago. He just came back last week. So he is back. He is healthy. He is good to go. They just sent out the practice lines that they had today. He is in the lineup still. The other guy that they're missing, though, that will not be at least good to go for the start of this playoff series is Dylan Holloway. Dylan Holloway, we got last offseason from Edmonton and ended up being a huge surprise for St. Louis this year. Not that he wasn't expected to be good, just he exceeded expectations. He ended up being second on the team in goals this year and in points. So he was a huge addition. He got injured the game that they tied the franchise record, that they won their 11th game, he got hurt early in that one. And you could tell the quality of play has kind of dipped since then.
Mm.
And because he was playing on a line with Jordan Kyrou, and those two had really good chemistry together.
Did you say you just recorded a podcast episode on this on
mm-hmm.
your...
Yeah, actually, just this morning, me and my buddy Brandon recorded our episode 58 of the Loose Sports Talk podcast, and we had Jamal Mayers on, an analyst for Sportsnet up mm-hmm. in Canada, and played for the Blues for 10 seasons, so that will premiere tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on our Spotify and Apple podcasts.
The Lou Sportcast.
The Lou Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Yes.
Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can check that out. That's Ethan's, along with his buddy Brandon. When do they start? When's the first game?
First game is on Saturday at 5 o'clock in Winnipeg. And then the first home game will be next week. That'll be game three. That'll be next Thursday at 8:30.
You just looked up tickets for that?
I did look up tickets
for
that.
Some are available?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's still plenty available. And actually, they're not bad at all. I expected them to be way more expensive than this. The cheapest tickets I'm seeing are mid-60s. High 60s, which for a playoff game,
also
pretty
my
good
experience,
bang for your buck.
I haven't been to a lot of hockey games, but my experience of going to hockey games is that if you're in the arena, you're in it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not.
Yes,
I mean when the Rams were here, my dad had season tickets, and we had seats in the end zone, but like up top,
mm-hmm.
and it was fun to watch it because you could really see the plays unfold. I have a hard time watching a football game from like the 50-yard line if you're low. Great seats to be a part of the action, but I need to see more of the unfolding because I don't understand it as much if I can't look at it like it's a PlayStation game or something.
I've sat pretty much anywhere that you can sit within Enterprise, from the broadcast booth to the ringside booth to right up on the glass to far back row for a Stanley Cup final game.
Just to be there.
Just to be there.
And you felt like you're in it.
Yes.
Party atmosphere.
Yeah. I would actually say that, I mean, I would say the best spot to sit in Enterprise Center is upper level, but as close to the front row as you can be.
That's pretty good.
Because you have an over-the-top view, but you don't have people obstructing your view either.
Did you know that, I think it was 2010, that I recorded the voice work for the Blues home opener?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
What year was it? What's it?
I think it was 2010. It's on YouTube somewhere.
How did you get that opportunity?
Tom Calhoun.
Uh-huh.
I know Tom Calhoun. He's the PA guy who's like been at every game since 1850 or something like that. He's never missed a game. But they needed a female voice, and I was supposed to sound like a computer. It was like I'd have to like tell the crowd. I was giving the crowd instructions uh-huh. of what to do as part of it. Enter Sandman played at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then they got all the projections. I was
that still plays by the way when they come out on the ice
every time,
mm-hmm.
every game.
Yep.
Are we going to 5750?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say,
break!
In true Ryan fashion, that's the end of my story. they needed a female voice, and he knew that I had done some voice work. And at that point, I had voiced a few commercials, and he thought of me. And so I went there, and they gave me two tickets to go to the game. That was my payment. I was fine. So I got to go to opening night.
It's very cool.
And it was wild. You Blues fans are crazy people.
Opening night's cool. There's something about it. Kind of similar to opening day. It's a new yeah. start. Fans are ready to go. They're energized.
I didn't realize it, but it is equal to opening day for baseball for Blues fans.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you're in that group,
yeah.
it's as big of a deal as opening day for baseball is for baseball
fans. Those
players
all get introduced for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a cool experience.
I had not experienced it before, and I got to be a part of it, and it was pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I'll find the YouTube video somewhere. You found it? Oh, he has it
yeah,
ready.
Yeah, I put
to
it
go.
In the
oh, that
chat.
Was quick.
All right. Well, I'll share it on my X profile at Annie Fry Show. We'll be back in the 2 o'clock hour with a little Annie, Are You Okay with Trisha? 225. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.